There are many images in the scriptures that portray human beings as being in God's hands. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7 describes God forming man as a potter forms the clay from the dust of the earth and then breathing into him the breath of life. And verse 22 tells us that God formed woman out of the rib of the man to be his partner in life. Psalm 100 verse 3 says, "Know that the Lord is God. It is he who has made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture." We are in God's hands, and it is those hands that mold us and shape us to be vessels of honor for use in God's kingdom. This is powerfully portrayed in the lectionary passage from Jeremiah chapter 18. The Potter's House. It's one of Jeremiah's most familiar images. The Lord uses this imagery to describe to Jeremiah how God deals with humanity. It is a true yet mysterious blend of God's sovereignty and human responsibility. Amen. When I was a child, one of the things I enjoyed most was playing with Play-Doh. You just run it through your fingers and it just feels good. And then you begin to mold something.
Come on.
But every once in a while, you find there's an impediment in it. So you pull that piece out and you squash it back down to make something again. This is what is portrayed in Jeremiah. The potter is at work on the potter's wheel. He's making a jar. And all of a sudden, there's an impediment in it. And so he squashes it down to make it into something according to his liking. God is molding and shaping the nation of Israel for his purposes and his calling in our scripture today. But the comparison between clay and humanity cannot be taken but so far. Because unlike clay that is inert and totally malleable, we can do with it what we want to do with it, human beings are not. Amen? And God's ways as to how God works in our lives are often a mystery. Because you know what? God does not take over our wheels and make us conform to his plan. God, in working in human life, has ordered it so that we must choose to seek after God and obey him. This is depicted in Deuteronomy chapter 30, one of my absolute favorite passages. Verses 19 through 20. God says this to his people: "Today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. And if you love the Lord your God and obey him, you will live long." Joshua chosen to lead God's people into the promised land, presented Israel with this choice as well. When he said, choose today who you will serve. Would you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates?
Yes.
Or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But as for me and my house, what did it say? We will serve the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. The writer of Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 9 says, the human mind plans the way, but the Lord directs the steps. But you know what? God has not made us puppets. Amen?
That's right.
God does not orchestrate our every move like a puppet master pulls the strings. Go this way, go this way. Open up your mouth, lift up your leg. God doesn't do that. We'd be better off if he did. Amen? He'd keep us out of a lot of trouble.
Come on, please.
A whole lot of trouble. But God has given us the gift of deciding for ourselves what thoughts we will act on and what physical desires will overcome our minds. And how many know that the greatest battlefield for us is our minds? It is where the seeds of obedience and disobedience are sown. It is in our mind that we choose whether or not we will serve God or whether we will serve another God.
Yes.
Whether it be the flesh, whether it be the world, whether it be somebody in your life who you've put up on that pedestal and made them God, whether it's money. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
That's why the Apostle Paul urge his readers in Romans 12, saying, brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person.
Amen.
By changing the way you think. You will not change.
Yes.
Unless you change the way you think. Amen.
Amen.
That's key.
Amen.
Talk to a person long enough and you understand how they think. Amen.
Yes.
Because the scripture tells us, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what's in here comes out there.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
We can say one thing. We can say a lot of things. But what comes out just naturally usually is what's the truth. Amen. Jesus, or I should say James, Jesus' half-brother, makes it clear that we are free agents. James chapter 1, verses 13 through 16 says, remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God's not tempting you. Amen. Some things in life may be a test of our faith. They teach us who we really are and how to lean on God and that God's word is true. Amen.
Amen.
Teach us that we're not as good as we think we are. Amen.
Amen.
But God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. For God wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth.
Amen.
All these passages show us that Christians, I'm not talking about people who don't know Christ now. The Bible was written for us.
Right.
I think sometimes we forget that. When the apostles are calling out sin in the church, they weren't talking about the world. They're going down the list and they said, so are some of you.
Like that.
Amen.
Amen. Come on.
So the passages show us that Christians are not passively resting on the potter's wheel, waiting to be shaped and molded by God. We might say, oh, Lord, have your way. Have your way. But we don't. We squirm and we wiggle. We resist God at times. And we seek to fashion our lives after our own making. Sometimes we choose a sinful path instead of God's righteous one. And as sin had a devastating effect on Israel, it has devastating effects on our lives as well.
Amen.
All people are given the opportunity to repent and to conform to God's purpose for their lives. And God is always willing to respond in grace to us when we repent.
Yes, he does.
God calls Jeremiah to go down to the potter's house for that very reason. Instead of God punishing his people for abandoning him and going after false gods, God was giving them another chance to repent. He was calling them back into relationship with him. God is always calling us back into relationship. That they sinned repeatedly, turning away from God. And the consequence of their sin was twofold. Just as James just said, sin is an overpowering force. And it puts a barrier between us and God. I've said this many times. But let me make it clear again. Once sin gets a hold of us, it is hard to get free.
Come on.
Amen?
Amen.
Unrepentant, habitual sin creates a barrier between God and us. And not only that, but it leaves us open for demonic oppression.
Yes.
And it puts us in line for chastisement.
Yes, ma'am.
It keeps us in bondage. And the only way to get free from it is to confess it, renounce it, and submit again to God.
Come on.
Amen?
Amen.
That's just the truth.
Amen.
We play with God far too much.
Yes.
Amen?
Tell
the truth. We make God's grace cheap. God's grace isn't cheap. Jesus died so that we could be set free. So that we no longer have to be oppressed by the enemy. So that we no longer have to be bound by sin. But we play with it because we like it sometimes.
Amen.
But if you put your hand too close to the fire, you will get burnt.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
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 Isaiah chapter 64, verses 4 through 9 speaks to this. And is another text that uses the imagery of God as the potter. And in this passage, Israel has now faced God's judgment and is coming with repentant hearts to God, casting themselves on his mercy and calling upon God to no longer remember their sin. They instead ask God to remember that they are his. Isaiah writes, since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God beside you who acts on the behalf of those who wait for him. You come to the help of those who gladly do right, who remember your ways. But when we continue to sin against them, you are angry. How then can we be saved? All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sin sweeps us away. It's the bondage of sin. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us and have made us waste away because of our sin. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all work, the work of your hand. So do not be angry beyond measure, O Lord. Do not remember our sins forever. Oh, look upon us, we pray, for we are your people. How many times have we prayed that? Amen. God, forgive me. God, please. I'm yours, Lord. Amen. I'm just being for real. Amen. Maybe you haven't. But I know when I'm doing something wrong, and I say, Lord, please, forgive me. Cleanse me. I don't want punished. Or if I'm already in it, I want out of it. Amen. So that I don't have to go through it again. Lord, please, I'm yours. You are my Father. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We don't fear God anymore.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
We have whole generations who don't know the fear of God. That's why the world is so jacked up. But you know, we got a 7-year-old orange person who thinks who doesn't fear God either. Amen. Less than anything that he's sorry for. Amen. Call out everybody else's sin. I won't get. I'm sorry. Lord have mercy.
Take
I will be so glad when this election's over.
Amen.
Because I'm going to tell you what, it's really working my patience.
That's all right.
But God,
yes.
God never gave up on his chosen people.
Right.
Always reaching out, always sending words of correction and hope in spite of their rejection. And God, in like manner, never gives up on us. So when the devil tells you, you have messed up beyond forgiveness, that's a lie.
He's a
lie.
Amen.
Amen. God never gives up on us.
Yeah.
Don't play with God.
That's right.
Because we reap what we sow.
Come on.
Amen.
Come on.
But God never gives up on us.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, this is why God doesn't give up on us. For we are his workmanship. And he is creating good works in us through Christ in us, which God before the beginning of the world destined to do. Amen? It was his will from the foundings of creation that we would know Christ and that Christ's life would flow from us. That ought to give you the impetus to want to live for God. Amen? God is always in the process of shaping us individually and as his church. Because God has a plan for our lives. And God desires to make us honorable vessels for his use. And you know what? No matter what we think our plans are, God is greater. Amen?
Yeah.
I was listening on the radio the other day, that young lady, Kelly Clarkson, who was the first American Idol, she wrote this song, and it talked about bit by bit. If you heard it, it was about her father left her when she was 6 years old, and how she didn't know love until God brought her husband, and how bit by bit, the hope was being restored in her, that a man could love her, that a man could be a good father, that a man could say, that a man would love her for herself and not for what she had. So apparently her dad now is back in the picture because she's rich and he wants her money. And that song just really touched me. So she was abandoned by her dad. And when she went on American Idol, she was just a little skinny waitress from somewhere in the South. Now she's a millionaire, writing amazing songs. And she's a Christian. Praise the Lord. It doesn't matter how you begin. It matters that you come to know the master potter. Because in his hands, he can take every bad situation, every hurtful situation, every sorrow that we bear, and God can mold it and shape it into something good and bring life. Amen? That's the God we serve.
Amen.
So my question for you today is, how is God shaping you? Amen. Are you resisting? Are you one of those who God gonna have to... Okay now. Amen. I was going to make a beautiful vase, but I think I just need to make a finger bowl now. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to be all that God has for me to be.
Yes, amen.
He's good. Amen.
Amen.
He loves us. I have a maker. He formed my heart before even time began. My life was in His hands. I have a Father, a Heavenly Father, and He calls me His own. And He'll never leave me, no matter where I go. My name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls, and He hears me when I call. He hears. He sees. Amen?
Amen?
He loves us. He cares. He's able. That's the God we serve. Amen?
Amen?
Let us pray. God, we thank You. All creation is Your handiwork. Your touch gives life to all that is. You shape and form us by the breath of Your Spirit and the touch of Your grace. And You alone are able to call forth from the depths of our being the beauty of Your Spirit in us. May we surrender more deeply to Your loving touch, O God. Fashion us, Lord, that we can be all You have brought us into this world to be. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.